Hello. Ryan's the only one to giggle at me in person. And welcome to the Cubicorn Games Podcast. My name is Dustin Morabito. Lorraine Morabito is here with me, physically in meat space.
It's true.
Space.
Joining us through the pipes, the series
of tubes.
From the
Shadow Realms.
That's right. Are Kyle McGrath.
Hello.
Phil McGrath.
Where the bones?
Rounding out the set, Wade McGrath.
I'm here for once.
I know, like,
full
actually,
house.
Not just shouting from the shadows.
Welcome, Wade. I assumed he was going to shout from the shadows. I'm surprised.
Mm-hmm. Dialed in for real. And finally, Brian Taylor.
Yeah, I'm here.
You sound like crap. What's going on? Are you just out of it? I mean, like,
no,
not, you know, you sound a little sick, maybe a little stuffed up, but it could just be the internet compressing the shit out of you. I don't know. As a man who understands
Ryan,
what it...
are you having bandwidth issues right now?
Who understands what it's like to feel like crap consistently. I'm just reaching out as a friend. We are here to talk about video games and possibly some things that are not video games.
It generally happens.
Mm-hmm. I'm open to leading off with pretty much anything, but considering how fresh some of the news is, Kyle, I feel like you should give us an update on how our NCAA bracket is doing, because fucking A.
I don't know. I assume everybody followed along and watched our DBZ tournament 2 weeks ago.
If you didn't, check our YouTube page.
Sure. The backstory is we used Dragon Ball Z video games to predict the NCAA tournament outcome.
Yeah.
As we
so
do.
The actual tournament is down to its final four, and going into that, we picked six of the top eight correctly and three of the top four correctly.
That's,
which,
man.
According to ESPN's bracket rankings, puts us in 1,026th overall out of somewhere near 20 million.
That's, like, basically, like, statistically impossible. Like,
it's
just
amazing. I love it.
It's a 1/20th of 1%. That's how many people are equal or better than us.
We are the best.
Man.
We had some great picks go perfectly, like our 11 seed Jace making the top eight, and Andrew 17 in the top four.
Because the only one we missed was Deborah, right? He got knocked
Deborah
out like a round ago.
We had the other four right, or the other three right.
That is so fucking cool.
We do this every year, and it does not ever go anywhere near this well.
Sure.
But this is an incredible aberration.
We've had our entire tournament finished by the end of the first week before.
Right. Yeah, Kyle, I was going to ask you if you had any records, like if you had entered these before and could remember our best placement
to
date.
I can look at it. Maybe it shows some of the older ones, but they're usually terrible.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I just know that this was, like, obviously, this is...
This is a red letter year.
Sure. Like, I couldn't believe that we could do this, you know, 1,000 more times and never get results like the ones we've turned in, like...
That's beautiful.
It actually shows me my finishing percentage in last year. I was in the 47th percentile last year.
That's a slight improvement.
That's not actually not that bad either.
Sure.
We got one of the top four, right?
Man.
And like two of the top eight.
Our bracket was terrible last year.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking amazing. Yeah. God.
There are people who could spend their whole lives really trying at this and never do as well.
Sure, exactly. I would absolutely believe that, like, sports data analysts with gigantic spreadsheets full of information have come out with worse picks than the ones we turned in this year.
Probably almost always have worse picks than what you have this year.
Oh, that's so good. It's just such a satisfying feeling. Man, the science works. Dragon Ball Z can be used to determine anything.
We did it. Every year, we're going to turn to this. We're going to do like an hour-long special on ESPN about bracketology.
That's right.
It'll be great.
Just watch Yamcha flailing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you sent the right email to the right address, like, I bet you could get a BuzzFeed article written about.
I thought about something like that. If we get it right in the end and Oregon wins from here, I think we'd have a good chance.
You totally should. Because that would totally, like, we have the evidence. Like, we have the YouTube archived evidence of, like,
we should
at least write
an article on our website.
Sure.
And then maybe someone will, like, it'll get picked up.
Yeah.
Or you'd be like, hey, look at this. Here's our information.
The subset of people that would both care and understand what's going on is probably pretty limited.
Who cares, though?
The point is, it's not even about that anymore. Like, it's not about you even care about Dragon Ball Z. It's just a funny story about how some idiots did something crazy with a video game.
Exactly.
That does describe us.
Yeah, once you distill all the specifics out of it, it's just, like, an attention-getting, like...
It's the fluff article on page like 37 of a newspaper.
Oh, sure, yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
It being a video game from like 2004 also makes it really better for me.
Yeah.
Man, how great.
So yeah, three more games.
I know, I'm way into it. When is the tournament actually over? When's the last...
Next weekend.
Okay. Like,
the top four games are on Saturday and the finals are on Monday.
Okay.
If our finals are correct, I want to watch that with you guys.
Yeah.
It would just be only
the one
Oregon,
team is already out. Yeah.
Oh, but, never mind. Okay.
But if Oregon's in the finals at all. Like,
sure. Yeah. Yeah. If we have a chance at being at picking the winner, like,
yeah,
100%.
We've definitely never picked the winner before. We've come close once or twice, I think. But
and this isn't even a case where like we picked a number one who a lot of other people probably picked. Like, it's a three seed. Oregon's a three, which. You know,
the
three doesn't win that often.
Sure. Oh, that's so good. This makes me warm and fuzzy inside.
The 7-seed South Carolina in the top four is probably the best pick. Android 17.
and getting an 11 into top 8 currently.
Right, 11 in top 8.
We're the greatest, basically.
Man. Yeah.
The math behind it just doesn't make sense to me.
No.
The more you understand it, the more mind-boggling it is.
It's great, and I love it.
Oh, that's so good. Damn. Just really awesome. Like, I just can't even, like, I'm still thinking about it. Just like, man, the number is just, like, it's so so improbable. I love it.
Give us a couple more games and it could get crazier.
Sure.
Can't wait.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't wait to find out. But, yeah, stay tuned for that. We will know in the near future how accurate we were for certain. But what a good time.
You know what else is mind-bogglingly amazing?
What, Lorraine?
The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Oh, transition.
Crushing it.
Yeah, we already shared our like base thoughts about this last time we got together and talked about stuff.
To it.
So I feel like, I'm assuming, Brian, you haven't played this game still to date, correct? So unfortunately, I think you're going to be taking another bench for the next maybe 10 or 15 minutes. But
what the hell is wrong with you?
He doesn't have a Switch. He has a Wii U.
I mean, he can get the Wii U version. Most of the people, I guess it's 50-50, right?
We've got two Wii U players
and two Switch players. Or I guess not three Switch players.
Yeah, three Switch.
So technically more Switches, but like that's not that many.
I'm not really going to choose sides over this. We're all on the same team here.
Sure.
Zelda am good.
Mm-hmm.
Team Wii U, yeah.
Yeah, I'll designate... the McGrath delegation to just share any thoughts you have on just like, we love that game, but if there's anything specific just about how it makes you feel, that's how I've gotten to describe Zelda at this point. Just like, as if I were lying down with a therapist describing like the emotional reaction it gives me, at some point. But like, yeah, what are the thoughts on how cool that game is and why?
It's like I'm a kid again.
Yeah,
like this is what gets you into video games when you're a little kid. Just,
mm-hmm.
You know, big old sandbox full of stuff and
it kind of feels like Ocarina of Time felt back in the day,
Or Zelda 1 if you're old enough.
Sure, yeah. But I'm just talking me personally because that was the first Zelda I had played. But yeah,
I want to say my first was Link to the Past because we never had a Nintendo.
Yeah, that was my first Zelda game too, actually. And the first time I played it was at just, like, one of our cousins had it. Yeah. And it was just literally one of, you know, a dozen Super Nintendo games they had lying around. And I was like, oh, what's this? And we popped it in. And I was just like, oh, man.
It's possible Link's Awakening was our first.
I don't know if we ever had that. We had the DX version when it came out, but I don't know if we had the original.
The crazy thing is, I'm pretty sure we didn't have Link to the Past until well after it was out.
That's what I was thinking.
Then, so I think Ocarina is the first one. I'm with Lorraine. I think it's the first one, at least, that I beat for sure.
Okay,
just not the first one that I really put time into. But yeah, this experience, I mean,
it's so bold,
eclipses all of my other Zelda experiences. And if I were a kid, I could see this like drawing me into Nintendo in a way that no game has done in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's just so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, there's so many things where, you know, it's a very dense world full of stuff, but at the same time, I'm playing it not because I think that I'm going to unlock, you know, some objective or something that you have to do 100 times at any given part in the map. It's just, I'm doing this because it looks fun, and if I get 50 rupees out of it, that's great.
The gameplay is good. Like, the literal moment-to-moment combat and you know, exploring, even if you're not finding anything, and just being in the world and a part of it is fun enough that it stands alone, in my opinion.
It's like, not a series of chores like some Assassin's Creed and stuff like that.
Sure.
Until you manage to make every single experience feel very satisfying in this game.
Right.
It feels satisfying to knock an enemy off the mountain. It feels satisfying to get a Korok seed. It feels satisfying to beat a shrine. It doesn't matter if there's 600 Korok seeds. Each one still gives you this kind of like...
a warm, fuzzy...
right, this sense that like you did something even if it was stupid and little.
I could shoot Hinoxes in the eyes for days. Sorry.
Sure.
Yeah,
right on.
The game, the game's really good. Hinoxes, so there's they have multiple eyes.
There you go. That works.
The game's really good at rewarding you just for going out of your way and doing stuff. Like, just to play with the engine a little bit. Like, if you drop an apple, like Wade was saying, in Goron Mountain, it gets cooked, and then it's a cooked apple. You hit an ice lizard with fire, it evaporates.
They spent a lot of time thinking about and working on just like the physics of the game and the engine.
There's so many instances when I started playing this game where I thought, hey, I wonder if I can do this and it works the way it should. And then it just does almost every single time.
Yep. Sort of like water. Go ahead, Kyle.
Water and metal conduct electricity for all purposes, good and bad.
Always.
Generally to your dismay as you get struck by lightning.
You can even take off a shield and drop it on the ground in front of an enemy, and lightning can strike it and hurt the enemy.
No. I have fought enemies with lightning strikes.
You pick it up with magnesis and hover it in front of them, and then it gets struck by lightning.
There you go.
The
game is great.
It feels like the premise of the game from the get-go was, if you can see it, you can go to it.
Sure.
But then they really expanded on it in every other way. There, if you think of it, you can do it. Like, if you can think of any of these interactions, you know, that is how it actually works. So,
like, we were showing you the airship video the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
You drop the octo balloons on a piece of wood and it just flies up into the sky.
Man,
use a leaf to propel it.
Yep. Sure.
So good.
There's so many little things in there. And I keep coming back to even
so many little things.
Different little pieces of, like Phil was saying when he mentioned like a kid coming to it from the first time. All that stuff I feel like was, like I said, the thing that strikes me the most about this game from a macro level design wise is that it feels like Nintendo took really detailed, really logical notes on a lot of special things about video games that have been released in, let's say, the last 10 to 15 years, and just cherry picked a bunch of really clever, really important parts of those games and polished them in a way that, you know, Nintendo is famously capable of doing. Like, there are parts of this game that just feel like Minecrafty, and that, like, you know, you can just wander around. There's elements of exploration, obviously, and even self-expression to some extent in terms of, like, what you guys are talking about of creative or, you know, unexpected but logical ways to accomplish things. Like,
the
I could
one
go
I read
on and
about,
on about stuff like that. But
the one I read about, you could pick up, like, a bomb or an explosive barrel, freeze it in time, and knock it around a bit so that when the time runs up, it flies off and hits a bunch of enemies and explodes.
I'm just picturing it like shooting through the air like a missile. Yeah. That's hysterical. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And then talking about other just like elements of world building and other considerations that they almost certainly made while designing the game, which is kind of a thing that I had touched on last week too. I had read a thing that described kind of that basically equated the world design in Breath of the Wild to the way that Disney Imagineers build those theme parks, which is they attempt to lay things out in the Disney parks such that no matter where you end up at literally any given point in the park, if you were to do like kind of a 360, like go in a circle and look completely around you, there are at minimum, you know, a handful of eye-catching points that would automatically draw, like, you'd be like, I want to go see what's over there because there's this thing
and
that
you can
seems
almost
inviting.
Always see the Disney castle wherever you are.
Yeah.
And in Zelda,
right.
You would
it is literally
there's the horribly decimated Hyrule castle, which is still a joy to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So much fun.
Yeah, and the and basically the same
calamity
thing.
Calamity Trump.
The Hyrule Castle. The entire experience of that's maybe my favorite part of that game.
Sure.
I think I agree with you. I really like the dungeons, and that's like a much bigger dungeon.
Yeah, but it's also like the rest of the game. Like, if you want, you could fly right to the top in a minute and be done with it. But I much preferred the hour and a half I spent just kind of going from top to bottom with it. And it's very rewarding for all the stuff you find along the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, most of my playtime still, and I haven't played as much this past week as I wanted to, but hopefully in the coming week I'll get a little more time to put into it. It's just been, like, I set a goal out for myself in mind at the start of a play session, and then I wander into, you know, I just end up on a totally different adventure for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. I run into a shrine I wasn't expecting, or there are just some enemies nearby that I didn't notice or, like, didn't consider at the time, or whatever the thing is, but...
Like, the first 10, 15 hours of that game especially, you just kind of left your own devices and you wander off in a direction, and even if you have a goal in mind, something will probably distract you from it, and you'll end up on the other side of the world following breadcrumbs, basically.
Yeah, and the other part of that game, which is, like, I feel like it's less talked about since it's not necessarily the most wow factor part of it, but it's the part that I think I'm just starting to crest to the middle of, is that I think that game actually has a really good power curve in terms of, like, you start it off and you feel, like, tiny and weak and, like, garbage, but then, like, gradually over time, you really, truly build into, like, it plays really well on the general power fantasy of video games.
Even without, like a level. Like, there's no leveling up or anything in that game aside from your gear.
There's some subtle stuff in that game that you wouldn't notice. Like, every time you finish a dungeon, I think there's, like, an internal check mark for what enemies appear and what items you get.
They scale it up really well.
After you beat dungeons, basically.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, the first time I came across a Lynel, which was very early in the game, I was booking away from that thing, like, holy shit, none of that. And now I'm hunting them for fun. Like, I go up to them, and I'm just like, I'm not even drinking strength potions at this time, because my gear is good enough, and I'm just like, ah, you're dead. It's great.
Yeah, Guardians especially, to me, I think, had a good arc in the game, like, when you first start them, like, especially the way the music sets them up, they kind of, they're hunter predators, and they mow you down and chase you around until you're dead.
If they see you, you're dead.
You get to a point in the game where you can fight them off, and it's very satisfying to just chop all their legs off and watch them die.
I saw this one little three-panel comic, and it was Link, and he's wearing a shirt that said, "No fear." The next panel, there's a red dot on his chest, and then the third, it says, "One fear." It was really good. I've seen a few others regarding the Guardians, and it's like, yes.
the game has one other aspect that I've just been incredibly impressed by, and that's the actual character development that basically just isn't present in any other Zelda game any reasonable extent. And
to some degree.
Yeah.
I mean, more so than ever before, at the very least. Mm-hmm. Sure.
For sure. Yeah.
Like, the characters like Zelda get a lot, and even Link gets a little bit, like, Ganon will never be represented better than he was in Wind Waker.
Wind Waker was probably, like,
Wind Waker a lot.
Wind Waker's so good. I know this game, like, the other Zelda games are basically in a completely separate category from this, but, like, all the callbacks have made me want to start replaying Zelda games because they're so different, even though I spent so much time in Breath of the Wild. Because I haven't actually been playing that much Breath of the Wild presently, like, past week.
You did a pretty good number on exhausting, like, getting through that game as it exists today.
But I have been playing Minish Cap, because I never actually finished that one, and I have it on my 3DS. And then I'm probably going to replay Ocarina of Time, because I love that game, and then probably Wind Waker again.
I'm still basically in the boat that once I'm done with this game, I'm probably not going to play a Zelda game for a long time.
That's fair, though. I completely understand that. Like,
yeah.
I almost felt that way too, but when I booted up Minish Cap, it was just different enough but still had that kind of Zelda charm that I'm like, okay, I can do this. And I don't really have anything else to play right now.
Mm-hmm.
More Zelda.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think this invalidates old Zelda games or replaces them by any means. I think they're different enough that you can appreciate
I'll go
each
back
one
and
for
play
what
them
it is.
Someday.
I wouldn't say it necessarily invalidates them either, but I could definitely see, as we get a little more distance from Breath of the Wild, I could see it as a slightly more breaking point kind of game in terms of, like, I can see it becoming closer to how I feel personally about Zelda 1. And, like, it's a game that pretty much sums up, you know, the things that were to come for the rest of the Zelda series, but as someone who didn't necessarily play that game first, trying to go back to it after the fact, it's just, like, the edges are rough enough and it's different enough that, like, it's a little off-putting to someone who started further on.
I can't really sit through Zelda 1 for all of the archaic game design things it has at this point, but I appreciate and understand what it is.
Sure. So I could definitely see something like, not quite as extreme as that, but like something closer to a split like that, where like you can still look back and respect those older games, especially for what they were at the time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in terms of watching game design and Zelda game design evolve over the years, like, they definitely will feel old. Like, they're not going to... Ocarina of Time isn't a game that would be released exactly as it is today. No. Like, you wouldn't...
Absolutely.
If you think about it, though, it's almost like this is a third splintering of Zelda. If you had, like, the first branch is, like, the 2D stuff, and then the 3D stuff happened with Ocarina of Time and basically shifted the entire series as a whole, and now it's just getting another curve in it with Breath of the Wild.
It's difficult to see them going back to games like Ocarina or Twilight now. I don't think that's going to happen. Whether or not that the next game shares a lot of the designs that this game has or not, it's hard to say.
I would be interested to see them continue to innovate and change the formula up.
I think they will, too. I don't see them making another game that's just a very similar game to this one.
Yeah,
Breath of the Wild 2.
Sure.
The streets.
Right. Yeah, I'm still so deep into this game that I can't even begin to tell you what I think I would like out of whatever the next Zelda is. Right. But I totally agree.
I'm not done digesting this yet. Right?
Yes.
I know, and I know the only thing I do know for sure otherwise is, like, I want them to take their time.
Yes.
You know, if it takes 5 or 6 years or whatever, you know, whatever the real dev cycle is of this game to make a game of this caliber, I'm willing to wait.
Do it again. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, just look at
much rather have that than multiple handheld titles and, you know, Skyward Sword.
Sure. Because, I mean, that works both ways, right? It works in the sense that, like, they truly get the time to iterate and polish and really, you know, put all the elbow grease they can into a thing. And by the same note, you're not getting tired out like you would in series like Assassin's Creed, where they were coming out every year for like 10 years. Call of Duty, where there's been a Call of Duty, like there's been like 10 or 11 of them minimum in a row. Like, having that breathing room is good just to give you a break, if nothing else.
I think even Ubisoft decided that it just wasn't worth their time to put
them out. Yeah, they finally took a year off of Assassin's Creed, which I'm assuming will either be
praise
neutral or positive for that series for sure. Because, like,
it's for the fast.
Yeah. You only ask so much people to do the same thing so many times in a row, like, so frequently.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game is real special. I like it a great deal.
Like, there's definitely a way to put it.
There's going to be stuff being discovered about it for a long time, I think. Like, just last night I was looking at some of the musical stuff of it that's hidden in the game. Like, if you go to the Temple of Time, it plays the Temple of Time theme just really, really slow.
Or like when you're riding on a horse in a field sometimes, you'll hear like part of the main theme like sneak in, and I'm like, oh, I love it.
There's tons of that stuff in there if you go looking for it or read up on the internet, and it's great.
Truly wonderful.
It's pretty neat.
I was telling a friend, this is one of the few, very, very, very few games that I would say is a must play for basically anyone.
Sure. Well, especially if you like, if you're invested in video games in any way other than like at a base level, just like if video games inherently are interesting to you, like... Yeah. Absolutely. It's just, even if, you know, I'm certain there are people out there that it might not stick to. I doubt there are many of them, but like, you know, everybody has different tastes. But for those people, I would say, you know, at least try it out and consider it just to be exposed to it.
I believe they would get even a little something out of it. It wouldn't be a complete wash.
So much of it is up to how you decide to play as a player. So how much fun you do or don't have is generally up to you.
It's really neat.
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to
it. I consider it the first real system mover that Nintendo has had in a long time too. Like,
since Super Mario World or 64, if you will.
Right, Mario 64
is probably like that. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say Wii Sports and Twilight Princess, but those moved a lot of systems too.
Sure.
In a different way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was just a different kind of something.
Yeah. I mean, we like, financially at least, and, like, impact-wise, Wii Sports was definitely that kind of game. But it also wasn't, like, it was the complete design opposite, essentially, from this game. Like, this is a very gamey video game that has been polished to such a sheen that, you know, you can see yourself in it from across the parking lot. And Wii Sports was Wii Sports, if anything, was kind of the...
It was like an accident.
Well, it was... I wouldn't even say that. I would say it was kind of the inauguration of, like, smartphone game design, where, like, they took what video games were and then...
Boiled down to a simplicity that anyone could understand.
Tried to distill as much complexity out of them as they could while still making something that was fun to interact with. Like,
yay!
What a cool thing. Oh man. I'm gonna reach out now. Let's see, Brian, are you still here, or did we like?
I haven't heard.
did we drive you into a coma with all the Zelda talk? All right, I'm gonna bring you back into the fold by kicking it to you now, since we kind of exiled you from that conversation.
Now you talk about.
That's right.
I'm just waiting to see the speedrunners start doing it.
Mm.
They have it down under an hour already.
Yeah, I last I saw it was 47 minutes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's like pretty good.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
I've played this game at least that many hours.
Right? Yep. Yeah, I also haven't like watched any of that stuff personally myself. Either. I'm saving myself for SGDQ.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as that
it's
stream
gonna be
comes
there.
Up.
You know it's going to be there.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to watch any stuff like that until I'd actually finished the game myself.
Well, that too. Yeah. That would be the other reason. But like, even if I do manage to actually complete that game, you know, before then, I'm still just going to wait and like... I'm going to watch it with the world when that next speedrun marathon comes around. But Brian, have you been up to anything else that you'd like to share? Because like I said, I just wanted to get you back in to talk about something, since I know it's hard to weigh in on games that you haven't personally touched.
But you should.
I mean, before, if you haven't played, I know that you have both have other games and a lot of just other life stuff going on, but if you haven't at least booted this game up before end of calendar year 2017, at that point, I will have words. That's plenty. I'm giving you plenty of room.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I could theoretically get it for a Wii U if I wanted to, but...
Were you planning on ever getting a Switch?
I probably will get one.
Okay. Black Friday's probably be a good time to pick one up, because I'm guessing Mario will be out by then, at least they hope.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Sure, if it's on schedule, yeah.
I got a whole bunch of DS games here I'm still working on, so
that's what
I've been playing recently.
I'll say, yeah, tell me about some of your weird, like, slightly more obscure Nintendo DS selections.
The one I was playing now is Legend of Legacy.
Okay.
It's an Atlas game. Hmm. But it's sort of like, it kind of makes me think of a Tales game or something like that. There's a lot of, like, replaying of dungeons and maps, and there's a lot of, like, exploring. Like, you literally have to uncover 100% of the map, but then you can sell the map for money. So, got that going for it. And I've been playing Horizon.
Sure.
That's a really good one.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, I've only ever heard good things. It's really bad timing that it came out with Zelda, because otherwise I probably would have bought it and played the shit out of it.
Yeah, and like I said, at some point...
I'm keeping my eye on it, for sure.
At some point, that still could have broken either way. And it's still just a testament to, like, just how impressive Zelda is, that, like, it was the one that kind of, like, dominated the conversation. But I still have no doubt, like, I would love to play that game at some point, too. And it does sound awesome from every single thing that I've heard, like, other people mention about it, either, you know, Brian or otherwise, but,
those two games
coming up together.
I'm not too worried about Breath of the Wild right now.
But you should be.
You should be.
I'll get there eventually.
Do it, you better.
Persona 5 is in, like, a week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sure is.
Persona.
Yeah, it totally is. It's the first week of April. Yep, that game is just about out.
Sick. Maybe that'll come up after Valkyria Chronicles.
It very well may be.
That's a good idea if you want to get into the modern gaming.
Yeah,
scene.
I think. Well, I mean,
that's what you did. We did last year. I finished 13, and Dustin picked up a game that literally came out the week before.
Sure. The thing that I think, like, and this will go back to what we like stream and stuff. Well, before we transition completely, Brian, is there anything else you want to kick in? Because you're still playing. Speaking of streaming games, you're still playing Tomb Raider on the internet from time to time.
I am. I was busy this week and I had to skip it, but Tomb Raider, the remastered edition is pretty good so far.
They have some
lots of good subtitled
sound effects. Like man dying or something was one of them, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, and if you ever play that game, make sure to turn off the voice controls. They're awful.
Oh, that was my favorite.
Then you think you're going crazy because the game pauses itself and you're like, what the hell? I didn't say pause.
I'm surprised the games still even support that because of how many stories like that there are where you just accidentally say a word and the game translates it.
Oh, yeah, that was really so great. That was my favorite.
Xbox off.
Yep. Yeah. My favorite of those is where there were occasional instances of where people would, when people would be watching other people stream games, the Xboxes would occasionally pick up those commands from human beings just through the internet, like through a YouTube channel or whatever, which is also pretty awesome.
Oh, Kinect. Your body is the controller.
Yeah, I'm assuming, Brian, if nothing else comes up, he'll be back on Tomb Raider next week. Because I'm still interested to see what's the rest of what is up with that game.
I'll be on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Is that a remake of one of the older ones, or is this a new game?
No, it's like a...
It's the port up of the PS3 and Xbox 360 game.
Sure, the one that he's playing, but it's basically the first...
Was that the one that was just called Tomb Raider?
Yes.
Yeah, it's basically just like a franchise reboot. Yeah. Like, it is a start of a modern, like... Here are some Lara Croft stories.
The second one is Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And that one came out maybe like a year or two ago.
Yeah, I think
this one was originally 2014.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, 2016 might be right for the other one, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem like very competent, like Uncharted-esque third-person shooters.
Not raiding too many tombs. More like getting stuck on many things and... getting viciously killed.
Sure.
Fighting Russians.
Yeah, but getting viciously killed raider doesn't really have the same ring to it.
It's true. That is very true.
Fair
just
enough.
Appeals to different people.
Brian, I know you finished 15. Did you go back and do the bonus dungeon? I can't remember what it's called. The one with just a bunch of platforming?
No, I didn't even know about that. Soon as I went to start Tomb Raider, I was out of disk space, and I was like, well, 15, you're taking up like 70 gigs.
It's a big file, right?
Are you
out of here.
Brian, are you still on the default hard drive in the PS4?
I am.
You should either upgrade the internal one or just get an external drive at this point, because the latest firmware finally supports just like USB-based hard drive solutions on PS4 or so.
Good.
If you go pick out like a 1 or 2 terabyte...
I can make do with 500 gigs.
All right, I'm just saying. Fair enough.
Chidios was the name of that dungeon. I couldn't remember. Yeah, so that was a really cool thing that it was in the end of that game, and I was just curious if you'd played it, because I would have wanted to hear your opinions.
No, I saw that pretty much everything at the end was pretty open, and I was like, well, I'm never going to do this.
That's fine. A lot of those post-game stuff were really stupid. Yeah, you have to do like a quick short side quest first.
Mm-hmm. Was it too many icons on the map, Brian? Because Zelda solves that problem.
Everywhere I looked, there were just demons all over, and I'm just like, I'm not even gonna.
Hey, that's how I feel every day, man. I roll out of bed in the morning, and it's just...
too many demons.
Too real.
That's the only... the opening and closing line of the Doom Marines autobiography. That's just all. It's one line of text.
We're just gonna live at this gas station forever. We don't need to go anywhere.
We're good.
It's fine.
Build a bubble around it.
Yeah,
that's right. We got everything we need right here.
Sure. But yeah, touching back. Speaking of streaming video games on the internet, and going back to Persona 5 specifically, I think we might end up doing that.
All right.
Because I would like to play that game, and it's one of the only ways that I know that I'll finish it. But I also kind of want to make it a more, how we've done it in the past is either I've played a thing to completion or Lorraine has played a thing to completion.
Right.
I'm thinking if we can get away with it, this might be, like, it'd be our tandem run of, like, maybe sometimes you'll play and sometimes I'll play.
Oh, but, you didn't tell me that.
Well, I'm raising it now. That's what the internet's for.
I know you both like Persona.
Yep. Persona's real good.
Mm-hmm. Brian, have you ever played a Persona game? Did we ever convert you into giving one of those a shot? Or
no, I was gonna say I mean, you guys played that. What was it?
Tokyo Mirage Session.
Sure.
Yes. Which you said was very similar to a Persona game. I've never played one, so I would be interested to see. You guys definitely talked about it a bunch.
Yeah, I feel like you would very much enjoy the Persona series, so I wouldn't doubt that 5 would be just as good a place to start as any. They're all pretty much not unrelated, like isolated stories. So
I mean, they take place like physically in Japan, and I know 3 and 4 kind of like brushed against each other, even though they took place at like different times. I couldn't tell you about 1 and 2.
Oh, sure, but in like in a very non-essential way.
Yeah,
and then like they kind of...
It's a wink and a nod, like, you remember this, don't you?
Mm-hmm. They even got a little more Easter egg-y with that golden re-release or whatever.
Yeah, well, the same with Persona 3 Portable.
Yeah.
They did the same thing.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, exactly. Much more of a wink and a nod than like a, oh yeah, this is an intricately woven series of... continuation of this narrative. No multiple timelines. We're not.
Nope.
This is no Zelda.
Zelda, I want to know where the Zelda new Zelda fits here. On the timeline.
So this I'm pretty sure thing. I have the answer to that.
No, you don't. There's no answer.
Well, no, because the only three things they have mentioned were.
You probably shouldn't say it. If you're going to say the thing, I think you're going to say Phil hasn't seen it yet.
All right, hold on. Maybe
well,
Lorraine.
No. They at various points they've mentioned Skyward, Time, and Twilight, and that in Skyward Sword and Ocarina of Time happen in all three of their timelines. And Twilight Princess is the only one that's the outlier. So there is a timeline for it.
I should mention that Lorraine has been studying the ancient texts. Like, she pulled out her copy of Hyrule Historia, has been, like, pouring over it page by page for the last week or so. So, as far as I'm concerned, she's a scholar on the subject.
I'm familiar with what you're talking about, and I can go a step further. In the background, she keeps talking, and she talks about a lot of the other heroes in the other timelines. And in other languages, that's more explicit.
Hmm.
Huh, that's funny.
Sorry.
Damn.
But they did mention those three multiple times, though. There were various instances of them. I know that.
Like, there's evidence for all three of them, basically.
Man.
Which is fine. Maybe they're just like, Nintendo's whatever. Just like, fuck it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, here's, I say, I don't,
it,
so
it
probably,
says up front that it's been like 10,000 years yeah. since anything has happened, so it's far enough away from any other game mm-hmm. that it barely mm-hmm. matters.
If you want to reopen the anger portal of the internet,
let's do it. Right.
They could totally confirm that in the DLC.
We should see what they do with that.
Mm-hmm.
I really am looking forward to it.
I'm definitely gonna buy it. Like I'm yeah. in for what more of.
Yeah. I wonder if I'll buy the season pass now. Just like
I mean, you
it.
Could.
Just
I
get,
might as well.
You get a Switch T-shirt for him to wear. Yeah.
That's pretty stupid.
Like it's just. I think it's just like a T-shirt with the Switch logo, and that's it. It's really dumb.
What does that say about the Zelda universe?
I don't know. It's stupid though. I love it.
Modern universe confirmed.
Yep, this happened in Hyrule is America.
Sure.
Calamity
just
Trump.
Like Mario.
New Donk City.
It's all connected. Hashtag.
Pew, pew, pew,
heard,
pew.
Lorraine, I heard if you collect all the Korok seeds and then start the Ganondorf fight and let it drag on for 24 hours, that at that point...
You'll catch Mew.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
The truck will appear, you push it over, and then you
the
catch...
The t-shirt gun item will appear in your inventory, and you can make the Moblins wear Switch t-shirts also. Don't look that up. Don't Google it. It's just true.
My uncle works at Nintendo. He
yeah,
can
right.
confirm
yep.
that.
Mm-hmm. My uncle works at Nintendo. That's what he told me.
Yeah. He showed me, too. I saw it. I watched it happen, guys. I swear.
Oh, man. So good. Persona. No. Yeah. For, again, rewinding
sure
us back.
I'm not sure if I'm going to get it yet, but there's a good chance I will.
Oh,
I
Persona
mean,
5.
If you want to experience yeah. it, we're probably just going to stream it.
Sure.
Right, that would maybe lead me towards not wanting to buy it.
Yeah. Sure. The other thing about games like that is, like I said, that's the thing that's condemned me to, in my own head, I'm like, I'm probably never going to play another Elder Scrolls game. I'm probably never going to play another Fallout game just because I know the time investment involved. I've front loaded. I know how much that's going to take out of me to actually like get what I would want out of those mm-hmm. games. So like that's what totally happened to me with both Skyrim and Fallout 4. I was just like at the place I was in my life, video gaming or otherwise, I was just like, I just don't have the 60 hours that it's going to take to make this
right.
to make this happen for me. So I just kind of passed those
time
by. I get that sentiment. I totally feel where you're coming from, but you said, man, it's rough out there. It's only so much time that we all have. Only so many video games you can play. But yeah, like that's Persona 5 is definitely one of those. Like that's a large time investment if you feel like you're going to boot that up and play it from front to back.
Yeah.
And even more so, more than those games I just cited, it's also a game you would want to play to its completion if
yeah.
you could. Like, they're so narrative-driven
yeah.
and so...
Right, it's,
yeah.
it's not like a Zelda in that you can just kind of
yeah, exactly.
explore most of the world on its own.
Right, you can
really
put, you know, 100 or 200 hours into Breath of the Wild, but you don't have to necessarily
right.
feel fulfilled by booting that game up and playing
mm-hmm.
it. And I, yeah, that would be, I would think, much more the case with something like a Persona or whatever, but... Yeah, we'll see. But I would say that's our tentative plan right now, is that
yeah,
one or both of us will play that game on the internet.
I'll definitely stay tuned.
If First, we have to finish Valkyria Chronicles, though.
Yeah, we're getting down to it.
Which is getting... Yeah. Oh, my God. The roller coasters. I can't... Have you been watching, Kyle?
Yeah, and I was familiar with the game.
I mean, he played that game relatively recently. Just so you know what I'm talking about. It's like...
People keep getting shot.
That is a game with guns.
Sure. Yep. And Lorraine, I hope you're ready, because the anime is about to go to 11.
I'm assuming so. It's already been fairly high.
They're going to rip the knob off, and probably the next time we play it.
People are going to go... more people are going to glow blue.
Right.
That's
what's
happening.
You wouldn't think that a game set ostensibly as like a World War II sim, even with anime surface, would get so anime, but it does.
Oh. It was pretty anime from the start, though.
But not anime in the sense that, like, oh, they're superpowers.
Right. That's where at the end of the day, you're still fighting a war, like a real war.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, the anime was more like, hey, I kind of have a sister who might have a crush on me. It's really unclear.
Oh, no.
You know, anime.
You know, yes, exactly. Oh, anime.
Oh, Japan.
Uh-huh.
I get all googly-eyed when I shoot people and say, oh, I killed somebody.
Yeah, man, catchphrases. I still love that just, like, Vice cackles like a lunatic as he's fucking gunning down random dudes in the middle of nowhere.
He's enjoying it a little too much.
A little too much.
It changes my perception of the character dynamics in Skies of Arcadia, that's for sure.
Are they from the same timeline, or are they name?
There's probably no actual correlation between them.
I mean, they're like sky pirates. That's the whole thing about Skies of Arcadia.
I promise you somebody made a website dedicated to that concept. Like, if you do enough digging, there'll be someone's like time cube equivalent for how the Vice character transitions from one of those games to the other. It still really bums me out how underwhelming that Valkyria Revolution game looks.
Mm.
The one that's out now in Japan, I think it comes out in a couple of months here or something. Yeah. That's just like... It kind of looks like a Tales game, but shittier. Like, I mean, it just looks like a bad third-person action game that has RPG elements.
Yeah, it looked pretty gross when we were looking it up.
So, shrug.
Yeah.
Shrug.
The Valkyria Chronicles ended with one.
Something like that. I've heard that, like, if you can muster the courage to play those grimy-looking, ugly-ass PSP games, that 2 and 3 are all right. But
really?
The thing that killed me about 2, I never played 3. I played it for a couple hours of 2. The thing that killed me about 2 was that going from 1, Valkyria Chronicles 1, into Valkyria Chronicles 2, the level design felt so much lower end for me in terms of, like, you know, the graphics are way worse to begin with, so it's a lot more, like, warehouses and boxy.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, here's a building that looks like a square. And the maps were smaller, and then just, like, I just felt like it was front-loaded with the way that the levels were laid out. It was just way less interesting and way less complicated than the original game got at times. But, you know.
Shrug.
Sometimes it's okay if things go away. Like, I'm just glad that first game actually has gotten a little bit more life with, like, the PlayStation 4 re-release and the Steam release and stuff like that. It is what it is. I'll be looking forward to finish it again, like when we complete it on the stream or whatever. But yeah, anime incoming.
Oh boy. Strap in, boys. It's time for some anime. Pew, 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 pew.
Does anybody else have anything in particular that they want to offer up game-wise before we possibly move on to something else?
It's not so much a game. But part of this is berating Phil. So we saw Avenue Q yesterday.
That's where I was going to go, actually, after we ended
you
game
You and Mary need to go
so.
See it. You need to buy tickets soon because it is selling out fast.
I tried.
It's very good.
That's the reason I wasn't there.
Sure, Phil.
I know.
Phil, have you had any direct conversation with Doug since that yesterday or whatever? Because the only thing he told me was, like, he just said... If Phil gives me enough heads up, maybe they can, like, get you in on the DL, just, like, even without, exactly. quote-unquote, like, 2 tickets or whatever, like, they can maybe just get you into one of the showings or whatever.
And Ashley said that she might be able to reserve tickets, too.
But you need to go...
We're trying...
All of you should go see it. It's very good.
Yes, definitely. We're trying to go on Saturday next weekend, so...
Okay.
That's cool.
You need to see it, though.
It was pretty awesome. Like, the show itself was a lot of fun, but also watching her in particular perform in it, like...
She's really good!
Yeah, well, like...
And she's, like, a main character. She's, like,
it's the stupidest thing in the world that I felt like pride by proxy. I was like, I know who that human is, and she's crushing it right now.
So, have you never gone see someone you know in any kind of production?
No, I actually never have. Like, not like a high school play or anything like that.
Because, I had, when we were there and I was talking to Doug and, I knew a handful of people who were in, drama club or whatever while I was in high school. I went to go see their plays, so I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
See, that's the difference between your high school experience and mine, Lorraine, because the people who I knew during my high school era, they either played video games or they smoked weed and did nothing.
Living the life.
Or maybe both, but they certainly weren't in, sports.
You described everyone I know right now.
I had a variety of circles. I had art club. I had sports. I had the people whose lockers were next to mine being one of those drama people. I had people I had gone to school with for the past, 7 years. That's what happens when you go to a small Catholic high school in nowhere, Michigan.
After spending a weekend with Ashley and Doug in Chicago, I'm not even slightly surprised if she absolutely crushed it.
She's
in that
amazing.
Play, just because of the type of personality she has, he was born to do something like that.
Yeah, it was awesome. I would, in fact, the next time there's a chance for something like that, I would actually like to jump in and hang out with them and get to know her a little better in general. Because, we really haven't hung out with her at all other than the handful of, group events that we've been to together.
Mm-hmm. I talked with her a little bit at the wedding, but that wasn't...
Sure, we were good, distance. Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. That was, there was other
was
stuff going
whirlwind.
On, obviously. but it was rad, I said. And kind of on every level, it was rad. I like going to live theater anyway on the brief, the very few occasions that I get a real good excuse to. It was fun to see her crush it. And the show itself was really fun. So
yes.
A victory all around.
Yes. Success.
We'll be there on Saturday this
good.
Week.
Good.
So.
Go see it.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I'll add as a final note to that, because it's been kind of looming large in my mind anyway, but I'll touch on it very briefly here, is that being downtown for that was also just fun. We've been going downtown a little more frequently to play Pokemon Go sometimes and stuff. There's some good spots where you can just walk around. Yeah. The riverfront is an awesome place to just walk back and forth and get stops and just have some fresh air. But downtown Detroit is fucking, it's getting there.
It's alive.
It's coming together in a way that I can never remember in my lifetime, which is, that's not a simple, there's so many weird little, socioeconomic consequences with the whole thing, if you want to truly be, thoughtful about it in terms of, it is getting way nicer down there, but also the gentrification is, fucking real as all shit. Right.
Midgard is slowly improving.
Sure.
No, they're building the plate now.
Okay. We're taking My this God. Analogy in a different direction. I see.
I want to live on the plate.
That's something.
Think Man. About it, though.
I'll give you that.
Then they're going to drop it on some environmental extremists.
Drop it on someone. So, Dusty, did you ever finish Undertale?
Yes,
you
did.
I did. Yep, I totally did finish Undertale. All
right. How did you like the end of that?
I liked it.
I don't remember if we discussed it.
I liked it. I liked it. I wasn't in love with, because the only time I beat it, I got the middle of the road ending. I had killed one or two guys,
so
and then
still
got the
didn't end up doing the.
I never went back and did the true pacifist run myself, but I did watch it all, and I did like that way more. I love that what that does to that game.
Okay. Yeah. The only real way to play that game was to not do the middle of the road.
Sure. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Because that's the way most people are going to play it the first time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I had known enough about that game to know that I probably shouldn't kill dudes, but...
You like the numbers going up too much.
Right, it's a video
monster.
Game.
Well, something like that. And it was more just paranoia. It was literally I don't want to reach a point in this where I can't progress. So I should kill, a minimal number of guys to get some XP. That was what I told myself. When I booted
What's
up
your
and
level
then,
of violence?
Killed a froggit or two.
You monster.
Those poor froggits.
But yeah, man. Shouldn't have done it. That's what I get. Being a horrible murderer.
Tisk tisk.
That game's great. Undertale is still also very cool. It's special in a totally different way than the Wild is, but
right.
It is a really good thing.
It felt very like Earthbound. It was clear that the guy had taken a ton of inspiration from his time being a modder of Earthbound.
And yeah, that I watched a playthrough of that Halloween hack, and it's something else.
That's what I've heard. I should give it a look-see.
It's interesting. Things get kind of weird.
I'm trying to think. Oh, that's what I was going to go back to. The other thing we did over the weekend was we judged a high school game design competition.
Really?
At our college, at our
alma mater.
Our alma mater, if you want to be a
UMD.
Classy asshole about it.
UMD.
I don't.
I do.
Go on.
But that was fun. But beforehand, it was us and basically four other people judging it.
Four other people.
Two of whom were just friends that we have that we had met at the school.
Yeah.
And two others who are
both alumni
and
that we didn't cross paths with.
Yeah, or much earlier, they graduated in the 90s, I think. And a husband and wife team, and the husband had been, he had worked in the game industry for a number of years, and he was actually a developer at Volition for a while.
Yeah.
Which is, a Chicago studio that used to be under THQ before it folded and THQ was jettisoned into the sun. But we were talking about, we were just kicking around, things that we had been playing and talking about, games that were essentially evolutions of, people who were super fans of a game, and then they made essentially an iteration on it. And the one that got brought up in conversation then was Stardew Valley, because there were a bunch of people who were playing it. But Undertale was the one that I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. When other people were talking about Stardew, that is basically that same thing.
Yeah.
It's not exactly Earthbound, but it evolved directly from what Earthbound was. In, a good way.
It's the same way with Stardew Valley and, Harvest Moon, because Harvest Moon is a lot more... It's more cut-and-dry farming. It's not nearly as, there's not as much depth. They kind of do that with their, spin-off series, Rune Factory, which has, the more of the combat fantasy stuff that Stardew has. I would put those in the same category. Earthbound is to Undertale as Harvest Moon is to Stardew Valley.
So should I play Stardew Valley? Is that what you're telling me?
Do you like farming?
Not really.
Do you like fighting monsters in caves?
See, there you go. That's
Do you like dating sims and festivals a la Animal Crossing?
I did play one Harvest Moon. Which one was it?
I don't know.
Was it the GameCube one? Was that
A Wonderful
I've
Life?
I've never played a Harvest Moon.
I've played some Harvest Moon. I enjoy it. Why are you looking at me like that, Dustin?
No, nothing.
Such an accusatory glance.
I didn't mean to. It was literally just to caught me looking up from my phone because I was trying to look up other stuff because I can't pull up the web browser on my laptop right now.
You learned something nice that you cannot take back.
I guess. The Telltale changed. Walking Dead, Dustin Will Remember, appears on the bottom.
There you go. I found the true ending for Zelda. Like I said, go to Death Mountain and throw yourself into the volcano 17 times in a row.
Listen, that was how you got the fucking Mega Man X
special. Yeah, right.
Yep. Hadouken.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I mean, true.
I bet you could get some enjoyment out of Stardew Valley, Wade.
I would check. The other thing about all indie games, right, is that game costs $20 or less, let's say. I'm pretty sure the base price was $20, and if you get it on sale, it'll be cheaper than that. So, maybe wait until it's on a Steam sale or something, and then buy it and just try it out, and, don't necessarily become totally invested in it. If you try it out and you're having fun, keep playing. But, if you give it a shot and you figure out that's not for you, maybe you're out $10-$15 at most, which is not the end of the world.
Now that I think about it, I might have gotten it from a Humble Monthly here.
There you go. Yeah. So, I've definitely done that before. I'm going to go get this thing... Specifically on Steam, I'm going to be like, oh, this thing's on sale. I'm going to go buy it. And I was like, oh, you owned this 8 months ago? I'm like, all right, great.
Whoops.
I discovered that I own Abzu, apparently, and I haven't played that. And I'm like, oh, cool.
Surprise me.
Journey.
I bought myself a present, and I didn't even know it.
So that's every month with Humble Monthly. I wake up, and I've got new shit.
Yay! Delightful.
Good stuff. That game looks fun. Stardew also. Mm-hmm. It's a game. That's another game that's the indie version of all that other big stuff that I've been talking about. To get the most out of that game, I feel like you would need to play it for a decent chunk of time. And that's one of the reasons I haven't checked it out is because it's just one more I don't feel like I'd be able to invest the time that I would need to truly appreciate what's going on here. So I've just kind of avoided it on those grounds. But it looks like it's actually really fun for mm-hmm. what it is, for being that kind of game.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Totes my goats.
And unless anybody's got something else they're aching to get off their chest, I think we'll maybe move on to like the smallest smidgen of news and then go from there.
I replayed Bloodborne.
I saw that.
A couple of weeks ago and played through the DLC, which was absolutely phenomenal. It's old news, so I just want to remark how amazing that game is in every respect. It's just so good, and everyone should play it. Except, you know, of all the people who don't like
Ooh.
Murdering themselves over and over.
Hello? That was weird.
I think we're okay. I think Kyle's microphone might have been a little weird for a second, but we pretty much got that.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. No.
Okay. That was weird.
Having not even played the DLC, that's how I felt about Bloodborne when I was in it. I was like, I really enjoy this. In fact, it's probably my favorite Souls game. Like, if I had to pick one of them out of the ones that I played. I haven't played Dark Souls 3, so that might not be totally fair, but...
I would say Dark Souls 3 is mechanically superior, but Bloodborne is far and away the coolest theme of any video game I've ever played, ever. The setting is just amazing.
I guess I should play that game sometime.
If you watched my one episode foray into Bloodborne, you should know that I'm going to appreciate that game from a distance.
You killed that dude with a brick a couple times.
I did.
Like two or three times. You were really good.
I am not the temperament for that game. Mm-hmm. I do not handle myself well in those situations.
Yeah.
You were really good at that. A very specific kind of person to be able to get themselves killed over and over and be able to walk back to it and say, you know, this is still fun.
It's part of that and part of it that I just want to rush into everything.
Yeah, I'd say it's not a game that rewards impatience. None of the Souls games are, but...
But I love watching those games get played. It's so much fun to just watch it, and like I agree with Wade that aesthetically that game is incredible. So
I
neat.
Still like that Mary, who essentially has no exposure to video games at all, walked in and was like, oh, you're playing video games, and sat down and watched Wade play Bloodborne for like 10 minutes. Her response was, horrified. Now I understand why you guys have such weird dreams.
That's definitely a takeaway you could have from that game. And the other thing, like, I would like to... We should come up with a more deliberate test of, like, four or five things that we can, like... have Mary sit down and view in sequence. Because I feel like she was kind of halfway there in terms of, like, when you talked about her seeing Bloodborne and then her seeing Zelda.
Right, exactly.
I think it's a thing that people who aren't specifically into video games don't really consider. Like, I think for people who are just outside it enough, it's all just, you know, blood and guts and, like, bullets. Like, that's what people think of when someone mentions video games to them. Or if they're of a certain age, then it's just, like, you know, it's Mega Man and Mario. It's, like, 8-bit stuff. But like,
play the Stanley Parable with it.
That's a fun game.
That is a fun game.
I would love to watch her play that game. That would be really good.
I love watching anyone play Stanley Parable.
Pretty much. I would watch anyone play that game.
We played that for like a good like maybe 2-3 hours one day.
Yeah.
Like
kind of an accident, like on a whim. Like I forget why I even booted it up, but I just had it. I was like, oh, I had this downloaded. Let's give it a shot. And we played
exactly what happened when I played it.
Yeah, we played like 3 hours. We played it 3 hours of the Stanley Parable and just sat there like poking at it and trying to do different things and seeing what would come out. But
feels very satisfying.
Yeah. No, that game's really cool.
I would also like to see her experience like Portal or something. Like just the feedback from like GLaDOS, I think would be really funny to see her like how she would react to that.
Mm-hmm. Portal 1 is also Portal 1 is a very nice brief game. Like it's a thing that she might actually finish over like a playthrough or two because it's really only like 5 or 6 hours long at most. I think if you kind of like if you can you know get the puzzles in a relatively.
But it lacks a certain amount of potato.
That is true.
That the second has.
You monster.
Also a solid game.
But yeah, we probably can't do it based on how that went down on YouTube, but I would love a series of Mary Reacts videos.
Oh god.
To I mean, certain media.
I don't even need that.
Nothing
but,
too bad, I hope.
Listen, it doesn't get much worse than Bloodborne.
No, not really.
True. Yeah, she didn't just walk away in disgust. It was like her first time watching an actual train wreck. She just stared at it like, I can't believe what's happening on this screen.
But I can't look away.
I can't look away, exactly.
I mean, The Last of Us could be great for that.
Yeah, it's a lot more humanizing. Like,
The Last of Us, different
type of thing.
Yeah. The Last of Us is basically a movie. Just wait till that movie comes out and take her to that.
There you go. Yeah. She would not agree to that.
Kidnap her.
Are they making a movie for that one?
I'm pretty sure.
I bet they are.
I mean, I guess the kind of game surprising. That... Yeah.
It's basically just begging for it.
I mean,
so.
it's like one hair step removed from being a movie already.
Sure.
And that's fine.
Mm-hmm. I finally found the thing I was trying to look up because I couldn't remember the name of it. Have any of you guys, or like probably Wade most likely, have any of you heard of or played The Beginner's Guide? Because that is...
Is that the sequel, or not the sequel, but the game by the same guy as Stanley
Parable? Yeah. I've always wanted to give that a shot.
I'm aware of it, but
I've never done it.
Yeah, same.
I should check that out at some point, because I did like... I was surprised by how much I liked the Stanley Parable. I was really into that game when I like first booted it up and got into it. But because like I think there are elements to it, elements of The Beginner's Guide that are similar, but that game is also... like that game is basically, from what I understand, a meta-commentary on game development.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So, I should check that out.
Which one?
The Beginner's Guide.
I've heard of it.
Worth noting, and this was a discussion that I'd gotten into with some other people, both of the two respective developers for Stanley Parable went on to design more video games, but they did so independently.
Sure.
And they took very different styles away from it, and I can't remember which one is which, but I know they're drastically different.
Cool.
Good food for thought. Good, like, Google this later and check out some of the other things that these dudes accomplished. Mm-hmm.
Neato burrito.
Yep, it's a very cool thing. But yeah, like it's just to close out the thought that I had started when we got into that conversation was just like video games are such a spectrum that I think some people would be surprised how diverse they are in terms of how they function and how they look and like
art.
Exactly. Oh. Well, that was my example was going to be it's everything from like
Shuck you.
Yeah, it's everything from video games are basically as diverse as going from like completely abstract art to like true life paintings. Mm-hmm. Like video games at this point pretty much have like a spectrum that is very similar to that.
Or even like poems and autobiographies to like very intense fantasy novels or even like random erotica. Like there's such a spectrum that
yeah, and the other thing
incredible.
About
erotic.
Right. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, if you want to get into the sides of video games, there are those, like thousands of anime porn games that are filling Steam every single week. Like third.
Hundreds, billions.
You've got literally everything.
Billions.
Most of them you'll never see.
Porn games.
Thank God.
You don't know that.
That's right.
Most people will never
because see. Because there is someone doing everything, there's got to be a dude who's like, his whole YouTube channel is just like, I review anime porn video games. Like, it's just.
I guarantee that exists.
Right. Yeah, there's no way that isn't a thing.
I should find that dude and follow him.
No, you shouldn't.
Man. I would like to interview whoever that person is, just like, to just have them tell me why. Like, and I could think it could be everything. The spectrum of answers could be everything from, like, I'm horny and I want to fuck big-eyed girls to, like to some incredibly thoughtful, like, these games hit me in a certain point in my life, like a bad relationship had just gone sour or whatever, but like this got me through and this is why I do this.
Anime girls gone wild. Hentai dating games. Let's go.
I love the internet. It's not perfect by any means, but I'd rather have it than not.
Same.
Perfect in its imperfections.
The sum of its parts.
Sure.
Perfectly adequate.
News?
Yeah, we can do that. I really only had a couple things. The first one was after saying that there were no issues with the Switch, Nintendo said that there was an issue with the Joy-Cons.
No.
Specifically, there was a manufacturing problem with at least some of the left Joy-Cons, and I still haven't noticed it in the one that
I heard there is they farmed out the chip manufacturing, so it was between different plants.
Well, yeah, okay. That's the other thing I was going to say.
That's the reason why there was a problem
either,
at all.
Yeah, it was either different manufacturers or even different production runs of that initial launch quantity that, like, straight up, some of them might be, you know, a little bit busted, and some of them of that first set might be fine.
Granted, either of us haven't really played with the Joy-Cons detached.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I haven't noticed. Because I know I had heard of some people even having problems while it was connected to the Switch itself.
Sure, but, like, drop
inputs
and
stuff. Like, I've played extensively in handheld mode and have not noticed anything.
Mm-hmm. And, in fact, we did actually technically, like, when we were playing Bomberman, when everybody was over, we all were using the Joy-Cons, and we weren't exactly, you know, 20 feet across the room, but I didn't perceive any problems while we were doing that.
Nope.
So I think we're probably okay, but at the same time, it was just just funny. Like, it was literally the next week or whatever. They're like, oh, no, there's actually sort of a problem.
JK Wintergrace.
But, I mean, the good thing is, at the very least, they're not like, you know, it's just if you're having issues, call them up, and you can ship it to them and get it back for free. You know, it'll take like 4 or 5 business days probably, but... And so it's not perfect, but...
And the thing about the Switch is that, like, since it is just so modular, it's not like, oh, my gamepad is literally not working, and, like, they didn't end up selling extra ones, but it's just like, here, just click this thing off, send it in.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's definitely nice that you don't have to send in the whole hardware to get that issue resolved.
Send in your Wii, and we'll patch your Skyward Sword save.
We'll fix your save file and send it back. Nintendo video games. Oh, boy. Indeed.
Delightful.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they're resolving that, and I guess it looks like, because people have sent them in and then, like, opened the controllers up after they've gotten them back.
I see what they changed.
Yeah, it looks like they've even, in most cases, just put a little bit of, like, insulating foam to basically divorce the Bluetooth antenna more from, like, the metal part of the joystick that sits directly above it. And even that, I guess, is enough to make those way more functional than they would be without that fix. So, but yeah, it's good that they're fixing it, but it was like that 1-2 punch of like, no, everything's fine. And then like, nah, actually some people are having real problems.
I wonder if
that
was because,
to address.
I wonder if that was easier for them as opposed to saying, there's a problem, we don't know what it is.
Sure, and
they were probably taking that like week or so and to really like, okay, what's the problem? Let's fix it. Mm-hmm. Do we have 100% on this fix? Okay, there was a problem, we have an answer.
Yeah, and the thing you described is exactly why they probably didn't want to do that, because like, I'm sure they actually totally know pretty much the exact number of units that are affected, like, based on the output of the either, like I said, those factories or those production runs or whatever. So they don't want every single person who has functional ones sending them in also. Like, they didn't want to... run on the bank, I guess, of Switch controllers, is what I suspect was up with that. But
sure,
if you're having problems with your left Joy-Con, like, don't hesitate. Totally, you know, send an email or call a Nintendo rep or whatever, and it sounds like they'll take care of you.
Yay!
The only other thing I'll bring up, and then we'll close this out, is there was some leaked art. Some leaked promotional art from the next Call of Duty game.
I was going to say Destiny 2.
Oh, no, you guys, I'll let you guys do that, because I don't actually know about the Destiny thing, but, so I'll let you,
tell me about
I'll let you actually close us out with that, but Call of Duty is going back to World War II.
Oh my god!
Okay.
Which is,
that was a matter of time.
Like, yeah, sure, why not, I guess.
I mean, Battlefield did it.
Yeah,
so.
I was going to say, I wonder if it's a pivot in that.
Yeah,
like,
if they had been, if the order had been reversed, like, people would have probably taken it as much more of a breath of fresh air. Like, all right, you haven't done this in quite a while. You know, it's fine now. But as it stands, it does absolutely just feel like a complete knee-jerk reaction to, like, oh, the competing game went this route, so we will also do this thing that they did. Mm-hmm. And that might not be 100% the full story, because those individual games do have 3-year development, like, life cycles. So, like, that game was probably in pre-production at minimum before Battlefield 1 got announced, but it's certainly a bad look either way. Like, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, because it super looks like a desperate, like, we're just, you know, trying to keep up with
the
what
times.
Seems like, yeah, whatever seems like the hot idea is for the moment, but...
60 years in the past.
I just thought that was funny. Like, but on the other hand, like, it is... Like, it took me from being, like, at a 1% chance of playing another Call of Duty game to maybe, like, a 5%. Like, right. I don't know.
Well, that's an improvement.
That's higher than I would have guessed.
It would be, like, I was like, I don't know, it would be cool to see the Normandy landing in fucking, you know, 4K HD or whatever. not quite that resolution, personally, but you know what I mean.
Like, let me tell you about Band of Brothers.
It might be nice to see some of that stuff, like, in a modern high-def game. But that's about it. So we'll see how the world ends up feeling on that when it comes out later this year, I'm assuming. But no, guys, tell me about Destiny stuff, because I didn't actually know what is up with Destiny.
I have not seen that either, so yeah.
There was probably on Wade then.
Yeah, there was a Italian copy of a poster that was leaked that announced Destiny 2 in September, and it hints at a beta, and it was shortly thereafter confirmed by one of the Destiny 2 or Destiny devs, and everyone is flipping their shit about it because it still hasn't actually been officially announced, but it's coming out in, you know, 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
Right. And the beta will be in, you know, a couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, probably that's probably like a day and date E3 thing. Like, they'll get on stage at one of those press conferences and show a Destiny 2 trailer and then be like, you can play it today.
Starts tomorrow.
Yeah, go to GameStop and, you know, put down your $5 and here's a code.
For Destiny 2, we'll get a beta code.
Fuckers!
You know, the sad that's thing is
it will work on me.
I would do it.
Take my money.
Does it have to be GameStop?
I mean, probably not. These days, not usually.
Best Buy, please.
Yeah.
Actually, GameStop just announced that they were going to close 150 stores, so they're hurting.
Shocking.
Yeah, well, I wonder. Yeah. I had also seen that too. I wonder what their retail presence is like to date. Like, I wonder how many stores they have total. Like, what percentage that is of their
and
their
how much of that is actually ThinkGeek.
Well, I mean, they're. I don't think there are any literally.
No, I mean, like, of those stores, how much of in the interior is dedicated
the
to nerd
product
shit
that they're holding? Yeah. I mean, these days, like I said, we went to GameStop to get that Switch Pro controller, and it's like 60-40, like it's like 60% just like nerd shit and 40% video games at this point, in terms of what it looks like their like stock on hand is.
It's kind of maddening, like.
Honestly, that's a better sell for me. Like, I would be more likely to go in there and buy nerd shit than video games at this point.
Sure, yeah, because the irony is that GameStop is the worst place ever to buy actual video games from.
But it's still just so weird, just seeing the transition. I don't know. It's weird.
If there's a thing that's dragging it down specifically, I doubt it's that. Because, like, if you divided decisions between like 50-50 between smart and dumb, that's probably a smart way to diversify, you know, their business overall.
That and tablets.
Other than just like getting on their knees and praying that the physical video game market doesn't continue to shrink.
How many games do you want to pre-order today? Huh?
Would you like to pre-order a digital game today?
They were selling board games there for a hot minute, but they cut that shit out real fast.
Sure.
Probably took up too much space.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we also were in a Best Buy today, like apropos of nothing, and just like on one of the back walls, like under like basically on one tiny little section of a shelf, there were like 5 board games. Like, it was like, do you remember any of the specific ones?
There was Catan and Expansion.
Whoa.
And.
Yeah, not surprised about that.
Carcassonne, like, maybe?
Forbidden
Pandemic,
Island.
I think.
Oh, yes, Pandemic was one of them.
I don't remember the other
one. But
ones.
Whatever. Like, it was just like, I was like, oh, okay. That's strange. Huh. And they were like, these were clearly like, they weren't like arranged in a way that was like, that somebody displayed them such that they would sell. Like an employee didn't put them like box front out and be like, you know, like, hey, buy me sort of way. It was literally like, all right, this is some shit that was in the back of the warehouse, so I guess we'll put it out on the floor. And they just kind of shuffled it all next to, like,
we have literally 5 of these.
Yeah, just like next to all the extra amiibos and like other stuff that's not in like the primary video game area or whatever. But it was really strange.
Very peculiar.
Mm-hmm. Best Buy also still sells CDs. And every time I see that section, I'm like, really? Like, it's
cute. Often.
Yeah, it keeps
a little smaller every year.
Yeah, I say it does keep shrinking, which totally makes sense, but it's still like
probably not due to customer traffic.
Yeah, I considered myself like actually a pretty late holdout on buying physical music, because I want to say I bought my last CD like probably like 2010, 2011, and like that felt like long in the tooth at that point. I felt like I was becoming that crazy person. So like in 2017, fuck if I know what kind of human being is that's going into a store and be like, yes, I want this album in a physical format. Here's my $15 or whatever. Like, I almost want to watch. Like, when I have a full, like, afternoon to kill, I'm just going to go into a Best Buy and wait until someone buys a CD and then interview them.
Or even, like, a Barnes & Noble. They've got a slightly bigger,
just like, at least, how did it come to this?
CD section.
Which when of your parents didn't Pokemon love you enough?
When what I was are you buying compensating Pokemon Moon for? At midnight at a Meijer, there was a dude there to pick up the Nine Inch Nails, I want to say, or some equally like a band that I hadn't heard of in 10 or 15 years. And he looked like a 45 or 50 year old burnout who probably had nothing else going on in their life.
Okay, I mean so. that would be my best guess. Would be that it would be like Gen Xers with nothing better to do.
that's exactly. Yeah.
But man, how strange.
Delightful.
Yeah, I mean, to finally bring us all the way back, like, I'm excited for Destiny 2 on paper still.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll wait to see
what it looks like, but...
Yeah. I still wouldn't also be surprised if they flip the script on some of that stuff, entitlement-wise, in terms of...
I hope so.
All that other gear that they just straight up said people wouldn't be entitled to in, like, the game that is to come. That
people have been purchasing with their own money.
Yeah.
I mean, at the minimum, they should totally have some kind of, like, ambassador program style thing where, like, if you had, a significant amount of this stuff, we're going to give you some pack of new shit for sticking around and playing this other game.
But... Did you see the trailer for their new thing where they're bringing back all the old raids with, you know, upgraded numbers?
No, but that's funny.
Well, I mean, it's basically their end-of-life process for Destiny 1, mm-hmm. but part of this trailer, it says new Eververse items, which is their microtransaction wing, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Like, right now, they're giving you cosmetic items that you can't carry over in the last month.
And that you could
you want me to pay more?
Sure, I'll say that, and that you could still even to this day be paying for. It's like, here, give us $20, why not? You get your money's worth for the next, 4 or 5 months.
4 months.
Man, that's awful. Like, yeah, that's pretty rough. Ugh.
10-year plan, guys. 10-year plan.
That's true.
Man. We're only on phase... We're approaching phase 2.
Holy shit. Sure.
Although, Kyle, now that you say that, it makes me wonder if they'll do any other kind of hard reset of, like... Do you think there'll be an end-of-world event for Destiny 1? Or like,
I doubt it. Because, I mean,
I'm assuming they don't want to kick people out of that game, actually. Yeah. Like, it's still... I guess has to exist alongside Destiny 2. Like, they're not going to shut down, like, you know, the ability to play, to connect to games and stuff, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. They've even said that, like, you'll still be able to play your character, just none of your stuff carries over.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, your character name and appearance will transfer over. So if there is a...
The two things that matter the least.
If there is some kind of catastrophe, it's not affecting anyone's character in terms of, like, living. There's no mass guardian.
Sure. You know, genocide or something. Yeah.
Final Fantasy 14 style end of the world.
Right, that's what I was thinking, like how MMOs have actually ended, where there is, like, yeah, exactly, some weird conflated, like, literal end of the world type thing that they set up before they pull the plug. But yeah,
I highly suspect that anything that there is will be in Destiny 2 and not in Destiny 1.
That, like, also,
I
don't think that's going to
have any content.
Yeah, that also, like, makes a lot of sense. I could totally see that also.
Opening cinematic is the blowing up of Destiny 1 in Destiny 2.
Traveler explodes.
Yep, exactly. It crashes into Earth.
Yep.
Just like,
Majora's Mask. Just give
only
it a face.
Only the Guardians on the Moon survived.
Moon Wizards, unite!
That's the thing. Like, the Moon is now hurtling through space, and it's up to you to slow it down and get it into a different orbit.
We've got to get back home.
Oh, boy.
We don't have a home anymore.
I'm optimistic, just that since they don't have to do as much work on the engine, because I think a lot of the physics are just going to be identical.
Mm.
And, you know, I assume a lot of the art properties will be the same, too. Or the art assets, rather.
Sure.
That they'll be able to do actual work on writing a game that makes sense.
Maybe.
And, you know, oh, right, yeah.
Maybe this time.
That's another thing, too, that, like, it's very easy to forget, like, how weird and just disjointed the actual original iteration of Destiny was before they had changed a bunch of stuff.
Rewritten 6 months before release or whatever.
The light. The darkness. The traveler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the entire base game is about lore concepts that aren't referenced in any of the expansions, basically.
So great. I love
but also aren't resolved.
Yay!
Sure. Yeah, we'll see. I'm tentatively excited. That's how I feel.
Sure. Same.
About Destiny 2, so I will find out. And yeah, I think with that, we'll wrap it up. A little shorter than usual, but that's not a bad thing.
Woo. Only an hour and a half.
Yeah, sure, right, exactly. You know, a nice brief, like, full feature-length film.
Hey, man, we've gone almost 3 hours before, so...
I mean, you know, it happens. Sometimes you just gotta talk about video games.
Get on a roll.
It's just gotta happen. Again, like, there isn't too much, like, I think the video game burst has finally sort of slowed down a little bit of, like, most of the stuff that's coming out.
That was coming hard and recently fast recently is while. Out,
with the exception of basically Persona 5, which will be really exciting, but I think we'll be doing a little more with that in the future anyway, so.
Woo.
Didn't talk about Mass Effect Andromeda, or
there's a reason talk about
Zero
for
Dawn,
that.
And
Horizon, we gave Horizon a little bit of a nod. Like I said, that's just because Brian was the only one who's played it. It's the opposite of the Zelda.
And like, we did, like, on our last podcast, we did talk about Horizon and Zelda both pretty extensively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mass Effect I have kind of ignored specifically because there's a lot. Someday we'll talk about that game, but I haven't personally had the chance to boot it up. It's just every other thing, every other impression I've seen from every other human who's touched it is just like... Man, this could have been so much greater.
Just like every other Mass Effect in the last 10 years.
You know, yeah, you're not wrong. Even Shepherd. I kind of even, like, Mass Effect 1 and 2 to some extent. Like, 2 is the high point for certain, but...
I was going to say, I thought 2 was really good.
I was mostly taking a swing at Mass Effect 3.
As you should.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like 2 a lot. Like, 2 is a fucking venerable game, but... It is also a game, like, there are technically things... Like, I feel like some of the combat stuff is actually better going from 2 to 3. It's just that everything else is worse. But, yeah.
I think 3 is an amazing game if you read into and subscribe to the completely non-canon indoctrination theory.
Right.
Drink
the fans
Kool-Aid.
Wrote that game way
Drink
better than the devs
Kool-Aid.
Did.
Not the first time, not the last time.
Right.
Yeah, we will definitely talk about Mass Effect in the future, but I guess now that we've brought it up, the last thing I'll close on specifically about Mass Effect in general is that, you know, even with Mass Effect 3 being kind of underwhelming, it was still at least, you know, for better or worse, they completed a thing. Like, they ended a story arc, like, which obviously, you know...
It was something these days.
Yeah, it was sort of unsatisfying in execution, but they did, you know, close the book and said, like, alright, this is done, and... Starting from scratch, just having a totally new, different, you know, like, just it's in the Mass Effect universe, but it's totally unrelated to the original source material. Like, I feel like that was the right way to go. It just seems like there were a ton of places where they couldn't quite execute.
Like the faces.
In terms of pulling something together. Because pulling a game together of that scale is, like, like I said, it's the same thing with, like, Zelda could have been really bad. Like, it could have been really bad. Games like Horizon, like... could be terrible. Every single time a game that big comes out, there's a significant chance that it's just not going to come together. But a lot of other games happen to hit in a really big way, that in such that it made Mass Effect stick out even more. It's like, oh, look at all this amazing stuff that's out, and then, like, look how kind of not amazing Mass Effect Andromeda is. But we'll see. I still want to at least boot that up at some point, but I couldn't begin to tell you when it will be. We'll see.
Hooray!
But anyway, with that, I think we'll call it a podcast. Thank you guys for hanging out and talking about video games.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you for listening, denizens of the internet, at home, at work, in your car, wherever you may be.
I look forward to reading your emails.
Yeah. Podcast at cubicorngames.com. Do it.
Email us your NCAA brackets. Let us know how you did.
Not as well as us.
That's true.
Me, I want to hear about it.
Very good. All right. Well, that's going to do it. Thank you, guys. And we'll see you next time, Internet. So thanks for hanging out. We'll catch you then.